Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up in a little bit, we will get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We'll talk some Chiefs. We'll talk some Royals. We'll talk some Denver Broncos, as it would appear they have a chance to get Aaron Rodgers. A lot of things are happening in the world of sports. We'll also continue to talk about the NFL draft that has come to a conclusion for the league. Before we do that, Alcides Escobar is probably the number one hit. Just like he was, you know, back in the day when he led off for the Royals.
And the first pitch, swinging as he always does. Fly ball left center. And it is going to drop and roll away. And Escobar may circle the bases. He's rounding third. Here he comes, 1-0 Royals.
Everybody loves a reunion tour. Tell me right now you wouldn't be excited if NSYNC got back together and they decided to go on a 30-city tour. I know I'd be there. I'd be bye-bye-bye, it's going to be me the whole evening. We all love a reunion tour. The Royals are doing their own reunion tour right now. They got Gerard Dyson and Wade Davis and Craig Holland. They got so many guys that were a part of the feeling. They're trying to restore the feeling with the Kansas City Royals. And now they bring back Alcides Escobar. We're where you want to be. I'm here telling you that we can take this thing one step further. Why should the Royals be the only team to get in on this reunion and this good feeling? You know who I want reunited with Kansas City? Justin Houston. I'm looking at pass rush right now from the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm not going to lie to you, it's looking a little meager on the outside. I'm looking at Justin Houston's stats. I'm looking at his contract right now. He's a free agent. And I'm looking at what he's done since he left Kansas City. He played 8 years in Kansas City, one of the best pass rushers that this organization's ever had. He went to Indianapolis because the Chiefs asked him to take a pay cut. And like most people whose job would ask them to make less money to keep doing the same job, he said, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to go work for somebody else. So he did. And you know what he's done? He started in every game for the Indianapolis Colts. He has 19 sacks over his last two seasons. He even got a sack in the playoffs last year for the Colts as they went up against the Buffalo Bills. So if the Royals are going to be starting this trend of having a reunion tour that I think has been pretty successful, I don't have much issues with Greg Holland. Wayne Davis has been fine. Gerard Dyson's been fine in his role. Guys are coming in knowing their role. We don't think that Justin Houston can come in here and know the exact same thing. 10-year veteran in the league. Certainly knows how to get to the quarterback. You're not asking him to be a great run-stuffing player. You're just actually asking him to get to the quarterback. So if I can suggest a reunion tour, let's bring back Justin Houston. Hell, if you guys want to bring back Mike Moustakas, they can bring back Moose. Hosmer seems kind of busy right now, but if Hosmer wants to come back, I'm cool with it. Where's Nori Aoki? Where's Raul Ibanez? Where's Joaquin Soria? Does anybody have the whereabouts of Mike McDougal? We'd have Mike McDougal on the show right now. If somebody could get Mike McDougal to call into the show, I'd talk to him. I'm curious what he's up to. You remember when Mike McDougal came out to the "Here I Am" rock you like a hurricane. You knew it was going to be a wild ninth inning with him. You didn't know if he was going to hit somebody, walk two, or strike all three of them out. It was a great time to be a Royals fan. So if we're going to suggest a reunion tour, Rob, I'm going to suggest Justin Houston. Fills a role, fills a need for this team, still a productive player. He had 19 sacks the last 2 years. 19 sacks the last two seasons as an edge rusher. I know we got to factor in the playoffs, and you guys won't let me forget about it, but you want to know how many sacks that Frank Clark has had the last two seasons? 14 sacks the last 2 years. Justin Houston has been a more productive regular season player than Frank Clark, and he's going to cost 25% of the salary. So go ahead and officially put me in camp of bring back Justin Houston. That's my pitch. Rob, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go. Well, as you mentioned, the top story in Kansas City is the return of Alcides Escobar. The Royals announced today that he has signed a contract and is headed to Omaha. But Carrington, the nostalgia aside, the reunion tour aside, getting the band back together aside, for this club, this Royals team, what does it mean that Alcides Escobar is potentially in the fold?
I hope it doesn't mean that Adalberto Mondesi is going to take longer than we had anticipated. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Adalberto Mondesi took longer than anticipated, because that's just kind of what he does when it comes to an injury. I hope it's just veteran leadership. He's a good 23rd to 25th guy on the roster. That's ideally what I would like for him to be. But with Nicky Lopez starting to trend back in the direction that we didn't want him to trend, and maybe wanting to give this team a little bit of a boost, a little bit of a jolt, Alcides Escobar just signs with AAA. I would imagine that Alcides Escobar is going to start a game for the Royals here in the next 30 days. I think Alcides Escobar will be starting for the Royals here in the next 30 days. Who is he starting in place of? Why is he starting? Is Mondesi here in the next 30 days? Is Nicky Lopez here in the next 30 days? I don't know. I do think I feel pretty confident that Nicky Lopez probably ain't going to be here. It looks like the same problem of why they sent him down in the very beginning. So we'll find out more about Alcides Escobar, but I fear for what it means for Adalberto Mondesi.
Two.
Somebody said Mike McDougal as the Royals All-Star was not a great time to be a Royal. That might have been the best time to be a Royal. Now, if you want to say Mark Redmond being the Royals All-Star was not a good time to be a Royals fan, I'm with you. I love the 2003 Kansas City Royals. They're one of my favorite teams of all time.
Well, speaking of those 2003 Kansas City Royals, earlier today, someone texted into our 610 text line, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service, during Fesco in the morning, and said this iteration of the Royals at 16-11 is just the 2003 Royals all over again. They are not the 13, 14, or 15 team. Carrington, two-part question. One, why is that man not chill at all? And two, why on earth do Royals fans not buy in the same way Chiefs fans seem to do?
Rob, it's been a while since we've done this, but cut the beat. Okay, Royals fans, can we have an honest conversation here on why you guys are so pessimistic when it comes to the team? I just want to know why. The Royals have been arguably the best team in baseball. They take a little bit of a dive, a little bit of a swoon, and people are calling in to Vern and texting in to Vern that this team reminds them of the 03 Royals. I want to read to you guys the 2003 Royals roster. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but just the players that matter most. And we can go through the 2021 roster, if you would like, with the Kansas City Royals, and just play a very simple game of who's better. At catcher, Brett Maine. At first base, Ken Harvey. Ken Harvey was out of Major League Baseball like 36 months later after the end of this season. Two, Desi Relaford. Shortstop, Angel Barroa. Joe Randa, Raul Labanez, Carlos Beltran, Aaron Guile. I ain't gonna lie to you guys. I used to love Aaron Guile. Aaron Guile is one of my favorite like Royal players. I love Aaron Guile, the Canadian. At DH, Mike Sweeney. These were their top five guys off the bench in 03. Michael Tucker, Carlos Fabless, Mike DeFelice, D. Brown, Mindy Lopez. You want to know what the rotation was for that team? Jeremy Offelt, Daryl May, Chris George, Chris Lima, and Rob. Do you remember a DJ Carrasco? You remember him?
I remember DJ Carrasco.
DJ Carrasco. Now, can I read to you guys this year's roster? Salvador Perez, Carlos Santana, Whit Merrifield, Nicky Lopez, Dozier, Benintendi, Michael Taylor, Jorge Soler, Hanser Alberto, Ryan O'Hearn, Gerard Dyson. We know the rotation. Rob, did you hear any of the guys that were on the 03 that would start for this year's team? Anybody? Is there a single player on the 2003 Royals? There's not a pitcher that would make their rotation. And I loved Lima. Loved Daryl May. I remember back then it was Lima and May, and the other days we pray. Loved Lima and May. Jose Lima would not be in this year's rotation. Daryl May might not even be in the bullpen for this team. That lineup, May, no. Harvey, no. Relaford, no. Angel Baroa, no. Joe Randa, maybe. Raul Labanez, no. Not starting. He's coming off the bench for that team. Beltran, yes. Aaron Guile, yes. I'm just going to say yes for Aaron Guile just because he's, come on now. He's Aaron Guile. Come on now. And then Sweeney at DH. Stop it. It seems to me the difference between, I would say, the Chiefs and how we treat them, KU and how we treat them, and the Royals. Chiefs fans always think the best of the team. I mean, even when Alex Smith was a starting quarterback, you guys would convince yourself that they could do something with Alex Smith, despite 100 years of NFL information telling you that the answer was no, that you're not doing anything with that person as your quarterback. KU fans, it don't matter who's on your team. You just believe in the best of your team. Man, the Royals lose two games in a row. I knew it. It's like people want to say, I told you so about the Royals being bad, more so than they want to tell you, I told you so when it comes to them being good. This isn't even me as Hope Harrison talking. We're comparing them to the 03 team. The 03 team. Stop it. You guys know that that's not accurate. You guys know that that's not fair to this team and how it feels. So let's not do that. Let's have a little bit more hope, a little bit more optimism when it comes to this team. Just a little. That's all I ask. I'm not asking for much here. I know that I get called Buzz Killington and I'm negative and I'm Debbie Down and I try to rain on your parade. Why would I want to rain on the parade of arguably the best team in the American League? Exceeding all of our expectations. Still getting guys back healthy. Still getting guys back in the groove of things. It's just one game. I'm not here to do that. I'm sorry if I had to opine and get on my soapbox, but I'm not going to lie to you. It genuinely upsets me if someone wants to compare this team to the 03 team when the 03 team is maybe the luckiest and most fortunate team in the history of the organization. Rob, let's continue the hits. I'm sorry, Rob. You know what? That's my fault. I took us on a path we shouldn't have gone down. That's my fault.
No. It was a fine path. That man who texted this morning was wrong.
Someone, to be fair, though, we were able to watch more of the 03 games than this year's team. I can't argue that.
That's fair.
I can't argue that.
Speaking of someone who a lot of Kansas City fans would consider Debbie Downer, everyone's favorite, Colin Cowherd, earlier today on The Herd.
Hold on, really quick. Hold on. Hold on. Someone says, who was the all-star for that team? Mike McDougal.
They had two. They had Sweeney, too, right?
Or no, just McDougal. It was just one. It was Mike McDougal. Come on now. This team has, I would say, three legitimate All-Stars. If they started the All-Star voting today, the Royals would have three All-Stars. Witt would make the All-Star team, Salvi would make the All-Star team, and Danny Duffy would make the All-Star team. Right?
Yeah,
that's those three fair. Are all All-Stars. The 03 Royals had Mike McDougal as an All-Star. Let's look at it. Let's look at a Mike McDougal career. I haven't looked up Mike McDougal. I haven't Googled Mike McDougal's name since I was probably 19 years old. Mike McDougal had a pretty good 2003. He had 27 saves. And then it just completely ended after that. He had one more decent year in the major leagues. One more decent year. Come on now. Come on, guys. Let's not do the Royals like this and compare them to the 03 Royals. Those are fighting words.
Four.
Well, like I said, someone in Kansas City a lot of people like to fight is the one, the only, Colin Cowherd. He was speaking about your Kansas City Chiefs earlier today on his radio show, The Herd.
And the team that's not getting mentioned that had a great offseason is the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, what do they need to make it work? A good quarterback, check, Mahomes. A good offensive line. That was a huge issue in the Super Bowl. They not only made their offensive line great, they added depth. They got Orlando Brown, Pro Bowl left tackle. Joe Tooney, Pro Bowl guard. Kyle Long, out of retirement. Austin Blythe, top 10 center. Then they drafted Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, the best center. Now they have two legitimate elite centers. Their weakness linebacker, they got Nick Bolton, who I thought should have been drafted higher. These are playoff teams already. These are good rosters already that had a hole. And the Browns attacked their linebacker and secondary. The Chargers attacked their offensive line. What the Chiefs did to their offensive line is beyond attacked. Sharknado. They got stuff flying all over here. They added a great center, then a college center. And again, you're given Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield. These are guys that can, these are big time. You know, I got my issues with Baker, but he won a playoff game. So to me, those are A-plus offseason.
First, I can't believe someone described the Chiefs offensive line as a Sharknado. That's a new one for me. But secondarily,
have you seen it?
I've seen Sharknado. I don't know it's the Chiefs offensive line offseason. It is an odd phrasing. But Colin Cowherd, perpetual Chiefs hater, is all in on this Chiefs offseason, giving it an A+. Carrington Harrison, you, not the biggest Brett Veach fan in the world, what would you grade this Kansas City Chiefs offseason?
I don't think you can give the Chiefs offseason below an A. I think the Chiefs offseason came in with absolutely one objective. Everything else is cool. It's trimmings. They had to come away with a day one starter at left tackle. They also had to upgrade the talent on the roster up front. And they did. We can go from left to right. At left tackle, pick up a Pro Bowl, all-pro type left tackle in Orlando Brown and give up, I would say, minimal assets to do so. Left guard, they got probably the second best free agent offensive lineman this year. If Trent Williams is one, I think Joe Tooney's pretty safely, you can put it two. So the second best free agent left guard or offensive lineman in the NFL. They maybe got the best Big 12 offensive line product in Creed Humphrey. You go out and get a former Pro Bowler at right guard in Kyle Long, where if he's healthy, he could start from day one and be an upgrade at that position from what you had last year. And I don't have any issues with Mike Roemers at right tackle. Now, I have zero interest of playing him at left tackle, but I got no issues with Mike Roemer playing at right tackle. I actually think the Roemers is going to start at right tackle. I think they're going to start Roemers and they're going to use Lucas Niang as depth. And then by year three of Lucas Niang, technically year two, that's when I think they're then going to use him at right tackle. But I don't think you can give this offseason less than an A. I think they came in with a clear objective and a clear need, and they have met that need as well as any team in the NFL could do. I don't know if there's any team in the NFL that has included a unit on their team better than what we've seen Kansas City do their offensive line. Not Baltimore at wide receiver, who certainly needed an upgrade. not Pittsburgh at running back, even though they got Najee Harris. There is not a team in the NFL who upgraded a specific unit on their team that we deem to be a weakness outside of Kansas City. They spent big-time resources, and in exchange, they got big-time players for the improvements that they've made on the roster. Coming up after us, we'll hand things off to Josh Vernier, and we'll talk about the Royals as they headed to game two of their series against the Cleveland Indians. We had Vern on the show earlier today and got his thoughts on Daniel Lynch's debut with the Kansas City Royals.
I thought his final line was indicative of the stuff that he had: 4 2/3 innings, 3 earned runs, a lot of great defensive plays behind him. You could say Whit Merrifield's inability to make a good throw to Carlos Santana cost him a pair of runs, cost him the ability to finish off that fifth inning. The slider wasn't there in the first inning. Fastball command struggled there in the third and fourth. But you could see it. You could see the talent. You saw the upper 90s fastball. You saw how, when commanded properly, those breaking balls are terrific. And his changeup has really been the pitch that has unlocked this door to the big leagues for Daniel Lynch. So, look, I think it's perfectly said by him after the game. I'm not going to be picky for my big league debut. I need a little bit more before I make any sort of judgments on the young man, but what I saw last night was a good first step.
It certainly was a good first step. So we had on Brian Polberg, who is the AAA manager for the Omaha Storm Chasers, and sort of asked him his thoughts, his opinion, his evaluation of Daniel Lynch. He thinks he can be a front end of the rotation guy. Do you agree? Are we talking about an ace? Are we talking about a one? Whenever people say front end of the rotation guy, what do you think they mean with Lynch?
Yeah, number one, number two on a championship team, no doubt. Cole Hamels-like, that's the name that he's quick to bring up. That's the guy that he emulated early on in his career. Cole Hamels was a World Series MVP, was at least a preseason Cy Young dark horse favorite for a solid 5 to 6 seasons, his time with the Philadelphia Phillies. So, when you're 6'6 coming from the left side and you can touch triple digits, as long as you can command it, you're going to be someone that the manager is going to hand you the ball and say, give me 7 innings. I think Daniel Lynch can do it. The only issue is when you're that big, when you have that many moving parts, can you repeat your delivery? Can you adjust back to the league when they first catch up to your arsenal? Those things only time will tell.
So I'm sitting here looking at Cole Page and sort of what he accomplished in his career. 4-time All-Star, won a World Series in 2008, was the MVP of the World Series in 08, also the NLCS MVP, and also has a no-hitter in his career. I don't know what I need to do, but if you're telling me I could press a button right now and lock in Daniel Lynch to be Cole Hamels,
all day,
I will absolutely sign up for him to be that.
Yeah, all day. No, that's ceiling. That's, you know, why this guy was the top-ranked pitching prospect in the organization. But, you know, 5 years ago, we're saying Adalberto Mondesi has the talent to be Francisco Lindor. He hasn't, I don't even want to say hasn't lived up to that billing, just hasn't played enough to even come close to living up to that billing. So same thing could happen with Daniel Lynch. But as far as projecting his talent and his size, Cole Hamels is the guy.
Vern, when do you think we start to worry about Hunter Dozier? So because we're at the 100 at bat mark for Hunter Dozier, I think he's been their worst consistent everyday offensive player. When do you think that worry starts? 150 at bats, 200 at bats? When do you think that worry starts?
I can't give you a definitive number. I would say when, you know, Hunter Dozier's not making solid contact, he's punching out on a consistent basis. I've seen a lot of bad luck early on. I've seen a lack of confidence at times early on. So to give you a date and look, if he's still doing poorly by then, I'm going to panic. I don't know. I need to see the evidence. I need to watch the games. I need to see what kind of swings he's putting on balls. I need to see how he's carrying himself on the field, in the dugout, around his teammates. Not concerned about Hunter Dozier all that much.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll do hashtag Hey Vern. If you got a question, now's the time to start putting it into the text line, 913-576-7610. Vern, when I saw the Adalberto Mondesi news, I thought that that spelled bad for Adalberto Mondesi. I thought it meant that maybe he wasn't going to be up in May and it was going to take until maybe June, end of June. Am I kind of overthinking it, or are these two moves unrelated?
You mean the Escobar?
Yeah.
Alcides Escobar?
Yeah, just looking at Alcides Escobar, looking at his position, looking at his durability, when I saw that, I thought it meant that Mondesi wasn't going to be here for a while.
No, I mean, as far as what we heard from Dayton Moore yesterday, we're still hopeful that Adalberto Mondesi will be able to start a rehab assignment a week from today, if not, not this weekend, but next weekend when the team's out on the road. You know, that's the optimistic view. Now, the Alcides Escobar signing to me is just organizational depth. You saw Nicky Lopez run into the umpire, have a little scare in that game last night. You couple that with the fact that one of their minor league shortstops, their AAA shortstop, Lucius Fox, dealing with a little bit of a hamstring. Next to pitcher and catcher, you can never have enough shortstops, but you certainly can have too few shortstops. So to me, it's just organizational depth. Eske's a quality clubhouse guy. Obviously, he's desperate to get back into the game. So, sure, you can have a few ABs in Omaha for the time being.
That is the latest with our guy, Josh Vern. You're always updating us on what's happening with the Kansas City Royals. Vern will be on coming up in 30 minutes as we hand things off to him as the Royals get to the second game of this four-game series against Cleveland. Coming up on the other side, is it possible that the Denver Broncos could acquire Aaron Rodgers? We'll discuss it. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
You are listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up in just a bit, we'll debut a new segment before we sign off for the day. But let's talk about the Denver Broncos. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers. As Diana Rossini of ESPN thinks that the Broncos are at the forefront of acquiring Aaron Rodgers.
If you're going to see any movement with Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be after that June 1 date. So let's talk about how everyone else is looking at the Packers right now from the outside. I had one head coach yesterday say, this reminds me of a marriage where one partner wants to get counseling and the other partner doesn't. And we all know those couples out there in the world, and we know what happens, right? They get a divorce. There's certainly a feeling that this is not going to work out. I know Rob uses that 5% way of describing it. And look, there's no way to really put a percentage on it. I can just tell you around the league, there aren't a lot of people that have belief that Aaron Rodgers is going to return to the Green Bay Packers. The Denver Broncos continue to be the team I hear that are going to be the most interested and are going to put the most in front of the Green Bay Packers to try to make this trade go down.
There hasn't been a quarterback since Carson Palmer, and I'm talking a veteran established quarterback. Sure, we can throw Eli Manning into the category. If that's what you want to do and throw in a quarterback who was drafted in 2003, have at it. The NFL is based on this very simple concept. Does the team want you? I don't care what the salary cap says. I don't care what your cap hit is. If the team wants you to be on the roster, you will be on the roster. If the team doesn't want you to be on the roster, I don't care how bad you want to be on the team, they will get rid of you. The Broncos are trying to acquire Aaron Rodgers, and I certainly get it. The Broncos look at their team as being a quarterback away. I think they were in on Matthew Stafford, didn't get him. I think they're in on Aaron Rodgers. I fully believe that the Broncos made a phone call to Green Bay to see if he was available. The Packers were not that interested in trading him. They didn't even entertain it. Listen to the teams that we've heard that we know called out. So we know San Francisco did. It's not a question. It's not a debate. It's a fact. San Francisco called Green Bay to see if they were interested in trading him. They quickly got the impression that they weren't. Sure, Aaron Rodgers wants to be traded. His management team has made it very clear to anybody that will listen or pays attention that he doesn't want to play on the team anymore. The problem is he's under contract for 3 more seasons. So if Diana Rossini is getting this vibe that he's played his final game, and I know that Peter King of NBC Sports doesn't think this Rodgers is going to be starting week one, maybe the Packers eventually just cave and say, hey, this situation has gotten so untenable. We can't move forward with this person on our roster, and we're going to trade him. Maybe that happens. Or maybe they tell Aaron Rodgers, you work for us, so this is where you need to be. I don't really think that Rodgers has the leverage that people are giving him credit. Sure, the leverage could be you can either lose me for nothing. That's leverage. Hey, I'm a valuable asset. You can either trade me and get something for the asset or not trade me and I'll just be here and you'll get nothing for it. But the NFL to me is a league that fights on principle and fights in not creating a system that the NBA now has. The NBA is the player empowerment league. If you don't want to play on a team in the NBA, they'll figure it out. If you go to management as an NBA team and say, I'm done playing here, they figure out a way to get you on another one of those teams. It's not how the NFL is. It's not how the NFL operates. And if the Broncos are putting all their eggs into the basket that Rodgers is going to be available and we're going to make the best package to go acquire him, then they're foolish. If the Broncos sat in the draft room and looked at their board and looked at Justin Fields, looked at Mac Jones, and then assessed the possibility of them getting Aaron Rodgers, and they came away with the conclusion, well, we can't take Justin Fields because that will hurt us trying to take Aaron Rodgers, then you're foolish. And a really bad way to build your organization. It's not like the Broncos have made the best decisions and the smartest decisions when it comes to this position, but this would be at the forefront of those decisions. If you take Justin Fields and then all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers is available, then you figure it out with Justin Fields. Then you figure it out with the other quarterback you have on your roster, and you just simply say we had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And that's what this would be, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, different than the Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was injured. None of us knew if Peyton Manning was going to go back to being the player that he was. The Peyton Manning story is actually kind of remarkable when you really think about it. But the Colts had made their determination. You're not going to be our quarterback anymore. So we're fine to let you go play with whatever team you want to go play for because we got Andrew Luck. That's not the situation that we're looking at right now with Aaron Rodgers. The Packers clearly want him to come back at quarterback, and they don't want him to be back at quarterback. So Terry Bradshaw, he is making the intercom runs. He was on WFAN, was also on 670 The Score in Chicago. So he was on Danny Parkin's show. Terry Bradshaw has a lot of the same feelings about this situation that I have.
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a 3-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. Now, I don't know what was said behind the scenes. I don't know what. If he said, look, I'll play this year, and then I want out of here, and they said, fine, then he's the MVP in the league. I don't know. None of us know, unless he told some insiders, and they're saying it. I don't hear it. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone, number one, Cliff Stout in the third or fourth round. I had them coming at me from all angles. I embraced it because when we went to practice, I wasn't worried about those guys. You know, it didn't scare me a bit. So I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay. And then if they fire the general manager, he'll come back. Are you kidding me? Really? Aaron, that's where this is. Here's what I'd do. I wouldn't budge. Let him gripe. Let him cry. Retire. You're 38. Go ahead and retire. See you later. I mean, I'm really strong about stuff like that. And it just makes him look weak. In my way of looking, it makes him look weak.
I don't think it makes Aaron Rodgers look weak. I think it makes Aaron Rodgers seem very petty. And at some point, there does become a common denominator. He didn't seem to be on the same page with Mike McCarthy. He was upset that they released a wide receiver. He now wants the general manager fired, reportedly. At least that's according to Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports. So we've seen various reports about Aaron Rodgers that make him seem very difficult to live with. But just like at any job, if you're the best employee, your company is willing to put up with a lot more than they would for anybody else. And Aaron Rodgers is the second best player in the NFL behind Patrick Mahomes. So there's always going to be a market for that ability, and the Packers will always put up with it. And if that means you got to fire the general manager to set that in motion, to keep him happy and try to go win a Super Bowl this year, then that's what I think they're going to do. But I don't think he's going to play for the Broncos. I know Vegas has them as the favorite right now. I don't think he's going to play for the Broncos. I think that Aaron Rodgers has two choices. Either go back to work and play for the Packers, or don't play football this season. I don't think that they're going to acquiesce and make a trade that I don't think there's any trade that's realistic that would be a 50-50. You know, like an equal win on both sides. Like, oh, that deal makes sense for both sides. Like, I look at the Lions and Rams trade for Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff. I think that's a win-win. Now, I think the Lions got a little bit more in return because of the draft pick compensation, but I think that Los Angeles got a significant improvement on their quarterback position, and the Rams got a chance to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think they had that with Jared Goff as their quarterback. So that's a little bit of a win-win. I don't think there's a realistic scenario of a trade partner that would be a win-win for Green Bay. It'd be selling Aaron Rodgers at 75 cents on the dollar. I'm not interested in selling Hall of Fame players at that. Sure, maybe you trade Mecole Hardman for 75 cents on the dollar. You don't get 75 cents on the dollar for the second best player in the league. So we headed to Denver earlier to get their thought process on everything that's happening regarding the Green Bay Packers and the possibility that they could trade their quarterback to the Broncos, who I think have one of the more talented rosters in the NFL. They're just not good enough at the quarterback position. Here's what Josh Dover had to say about a possible package that it would take to acquire Aaron Rodgers.
Fifth-year option on Bradley Chubb. So you got a couple years there of team control. I mean, not really money-friendly because he's a fifth overall pick, but team control, which they'll like. Like I said, it's Justin Simmons. So you just paid him handsomely, but you know what you're going to get production-wise. So there's a good investment there. One of those young corners, Michael Ojemudia, struggled a little bit. And I'm sure you guys out there saw the back of his jersey a lot, but he's got a lot of potential to be a good player in this league, or Surtain, who they get at number nine. So, I mean, I'm looking at like a Chubb, a Simmons, a Sutton, somebody on offense to go back, a Noah Fant if they want to keep a wide receiver. Heck, a Jerry Jeudy, who was just selected last year from the Broncos. One of those quarterbacks in the room, Locke or Bridgewater, I would assume Locke, to give him a chance to start it all over, and probably two first-round picks.
If I am the Green Bay Packers, and let's say that the Broncos end up making the best offer, if you're not giving us three first-round picks, and I would say two significant starters, don't call my phone. I mean, it costs three selections to use Trey Lance. It costs a third overall pick and then two future first-round picks to acquire an FCS quarterback who had made 17 starts in his college career. That's what it cost. Sure, he's 20 years old. He also isn't the second-best player in the NFL and a future first-ballot Hall of Famer. So, yeah, if you want Aaron Rodgers, and we've already drafted our quarterback for the future, so we think we know who it is. If you're not bringing three ones to the table, which is what it costs to move up to get a big-time quarterback, you got to use the draft pick and then also trade two future first-round picks, and you're not giving us Cortland Sutton or Jared Jeudy or Bradley Chubb, any two of those three, then no thanks. We're not interested in making the Broncos better. We're interested in making the Green Bay Packers better. The other thing, too, about the Broncos, which their draft philosophy just, I ain't going to lie to you, don't make much sense to me. The Broncos seem hell-bent on trying to beat Kansas City 21-17. Like this year, they have made substantial improvements to that defense. I love Kyle Fuller. I think Patrick Surtain is a really good player. Like, they picked up Ronald Darby. I mean, the Broncos are all in on their defense. How does that help you close the gap between Patrick Mahomes and Drew Lock? How does that help you close the gap between Patrick Mahomes and Teddy Bridgewater? Or Justin Herbert and those same two guys? So unless we're talking about 1991 and Denver's just going to come in here, smash mouth, run the football, and play great defense, and that's going to be enough to beat Kansas City's high-flying attack. Okay. Something tells me that you're going to continue to get blown out by Kansas City because the talent is not close on both of those rosters. So unless they get Aaron Rodgers or Fields and Mac Jones end up being a bust, it's hard for me to think that this was a successful draft for the Denver Broncos. It's hard for me to think that. And not saying that Fields would have definitively closed the gap. He at least gives you a fighting chance. And Drew Lock and or Teddy Bridgewater do not close that gap. You're still without the most important position in the NFL. Kansas City will still hold you under 17 points. And I don't care what additions you've made on your defense. Ronald Darby and Patrick Surtain are not helping you keep the Chiefs under 28 points because I ain't seen too many defenses that are capable of doing that. Coming up in a little bit, we'll hand things off to Josh Vernier, our guy Josh Vernier, as he gets you ready for the second game of the four-game series between the Kansas City Royals and the Cleveland Indians. Let's debut a new segment called Before We Go.
We gotta get out of here.
Before We Go.
So before we go, we take a look at three stories from around the world of sports and around Kansas City before we sign off for the day. The first story is Sandstone Amphitheater. You guys know exactly the one I'm talking about. You maybe have seen some great shows out there. They're changing their name again.
Call it what you want, but the amphitheater in Bonner Springs has yet another new name. The venue is now to be known as Azura Amphitheater. It has formerly been called Sandstone, Verizon, Capital Federal Park, and Providence Medical Center Amphitheater. Venue officials say they're working with local government officials to safely reopen for shows this summer. For 610 Sports Radio, I'm Sam Stevie.
This is the ninth time that Sandstone Amphitheater has done this. Nine. What are we doing here? I even heard that and I still don't know what the new sponsor is. What's the value of sponsoring that amphitheater now at this point? I'm not a multi-million dollar company. I don't know what the value is. But if nobody calls it that and it changes names every 18 months, are you getting the value? Like, what value are you getting out of the name of the amphitheater that the previous eight companies didn't get out of it? What has it been? Cricket Wireless. It's been Verizon Amphitheater. It's been Silverstein Arena. It's been Providence Medical. What? It's Sandstone. I'm going to call it Sandstone. His mama named him Sandstone. I'm calling it Sandstone Amphitheater. Rob, you gotta be with me on this. Are you calling this thing Azure or whatever in the hell amphitheater? Are you gonna keep calling this? It'd be one thing if they kept one name for like 25 years. And it was just like, all right, it used to be Sandstone, but bruh, they've called it this one thing now for so long. You just gotta live with that's the new name for it. Like, eventually, if they called Kauffman Stadium Sprint Stadium for 30 years, eventually people would just be like, all right, hey, that's Sprint. They've changed the name 9 times since Sandstone Amphitheater. Get this out of here. Get this news out of here.
So you're telling me in 30 years, you'll be calling it GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium?
No, because they're still calling it Arrowhead Stadium. Like they're still calling it Arrowhead Stadium. Now, if they called it GEHA Stadium, like Staples Center, and then that was the name for a prolonged period of time, yeah, eventually I think you would just start calling it that.
I just can't get over that report. Did you ever remember it being Capital Federal? I don't remember that one at all.
No, I don't remember any of the names.
It's Sandstone.
Other than Providence Medical Amphitheater, because that was the last time that I went, I think it used to be Cricket Wireless, too.
I remember it was Cricket, because Cricket's such a bad, like, I'm not going to go on my way to insult them as a wireless provider, but they're bad.
It's trash. Let's call it what it is. It's trash. It's the 9th time they've changed the name. So, before we get out of here, I was reading a story earlier today about black bears. There's 800 black bears that live in Missouri caves. They're now coming out of their winter hibernation to look out for food, and they're reminding Missourians to be proactive and to be bear aware. Quote, late spring and early summer are prime times for bears to be on the move. They're hungry and searching for food. Yearling bears are starting to wander from where they were born, seeking food and areas to settle. Adult males begin moving in large distances in search of females. So it's basically cuffing season is what they're trying to describe for these bears. This doesn't matter to me because I ain't going nowhere where the bears would habitat. Like, I'm not going to where the bears live. I've never seen a bear where I live. I live in downtown Kansas City. That ain't bear habitat. This news has nothing to do with me. But if you guys are the outdoorsmen, I know some of you certainly are, I want you guys to be bear aware. I want you to be bear aware that the bears are starting to wake up and that they're coming out of hibernation. The last story, and before we go, is New York City announced that next year, instead of having snow days, all of those days are going to be virtual learning. Are we going to let the coronavirus take away some of the joys of childhood for these youngins and the next generation? I don't know about you guys, but I love snow days. Getting up early, watching cartoons, playing Sega Genesis, playing some PlayStation. Back when I got older, me and the homeboys would call each other up and we'd play Xbox Live and play Halo 2. Those were the good old days. Now we're going to take those away for Zoom and distant learning days for the youngins? No. We old heads gotta fight for these young kids to get some of the same joys out of it that we got. Hashtag protect the snow day. You had fun as a kid, right? How would you feel if they took kickball out of the system? You'd hate it. That's where you built camaraderie. Some of your favorite memories are about kickball. Some of my favorite memories about school are snow days, and I'm here to protect it for the youngins. I'm out of here. Vern up next. The Royals take on the Cleveland Indians as they look to tie up the series against Cleveland. Back again tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.